Yes, it's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Welcome to the Coffee Break Hour with me, Alia, and with Yosef. And welcome this evening or this morning, wherever you may find yourself. It is good to be with you all and good to be fellowshipping together, as we know that it is so cool for us to have this community where we can talk and share our hearts and share things every single week. So welcome. I pray that you are seated in a good place and that this evening, as we just talk, Yosef, that is going to be a blessing, not only to everyone listening, but to us, and that Abba Father's beautiful presence will just be with us. That's really my prayer this evening. So, Yosef, welcome to you as well. And how are you this evening?
Thank you, Leah. I am always good. And, you know, every week I think, oh, not always.
I'm always good.
Not always good. But tonight I'm good. And you know, I think every week that we do the coffee break, I think we start off and say how excited we are to do the coffee break. But, you know, I want to be real. You know, sometimes it's difficult to do the coffee break. Sometimes it's not easy or to do teachings. But I know that the Father is with us, and I'm excited for this evening. I think that every week that we get together, it's not you know, it's not just about, like you said, sitting down and doing a teaching. It's about really just being real and speaking about what we feel the Spirit of Yahweh is saying to us and also to the body. And that's why it's a great time to be together. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to this evening. And I'm also looking forward to the rest of the festivals that are still coming soon. Mm. And the things that the Father wants. Well, not festival, and what the Father wants to do. But, you know, this week has been, or let's say this weekend, has been an interesting weekend, I think, for myself and Aaliyah. And I'd like her to share with you concerning something great that I know that she's been laboring and wrestling with for quite a while, and being a bit of a uphill struggle with regards to the outcome of it. But I know that the Father has blessed you, Leah, to be able to do this. And I would like you, just if you don't mind, just to share with everybody what's going on so that they also know.
Well, I think, I mean, I'm really not sure how many people, you know, that listen to Treasure Inheritance Ministry realize that on the side that I am a professional author. And I say professional because it is not, I don't self-publish work. You know, I don't have anything against anybody that self-publishes their work. But being a professional author means that I really wanted to leave a legacy behind as an author, as a writer. And it's something that Yahweh has called me to, and something that I do, part of also what I do, why I'm not so active in always putting out awesome teachings, because I'm busy writing books. And some people that obviously know us more deeper will know that my first book came out in 2016. Yeah,
that's right.
Came out in 2016, and it was called Yehuda, Chosen
feels
by
like
God.
2010, eh?
No, it feels like 2002.
Yep.
Yeah, and I brought out Yehuda July, I think it was 2016. And Yehuda was signed. I signed with a publishing house, a Christian, very big Christian publishing house in South Africa. And I need to say, because a lot of people ask me this, no, authors don't make a lot of money. It's very laughable, because people ask me about, oh, so you signed with the publishing house, which means that you must make money from it. Well, you actually don't. And but it's not about the money. It's about sharing a message. And the Father showed me that to write, for me anyway, and to write books, is I give prophetic messages in story form. And it's always to address issues, to speak on things, and to give freedom to women. So Yehuda, Chosen by God was, or is, continues to be a historical fiction piece. And it has a devotional section in it as well. And it's about Yehuda. It's about Judith in the Apocrypha, if you've ever read the Apocrypha. And Judith, I know that many people have issues with the Apocrypha. I personally do not have issues with the Apocrypha because of my personal journey with Yeshua. And he led me to the book of Judith over and over again many years in my life. And he led me to write Judith's story, Yehudit, and to really tell her story. And it's such a beautiful piece to me. As much as what I write something to give it to someone else, I'm writing it and I'm receiving it for myself first. And once Yehudit was done and it was released, and I had so many beautiful testimonies and things that came forward from Yehudit. Yehudit is sold in the bookstore. You can walk into any bookstore in South Africa and find it. And that's what's so beautiful to me. And it is just so freely available, and strangers becoming friends through Yehudit, and just all of that. But in the interim, I was, and I just wanted to share this really briefly. In 2015, which was a year before Yehudit came out, and I was already finished Yehudit by that stage, I was in a prayer meeting and the Father began burdening my heart. I'm always reading about women in history. I'm always reading everything that I can about women that went before us. It's my passion. I believe it's what I'm called to do. And not only biblical women, but other women. And I had read about somebody. And one day in a prayer meeting that we were in, I felt this burning inside of my spirit, and Yahweh saying to me that this person that I'd read about, that I was going to write her story. And I was so excited, and I started. And it was, you know, before Yehudit even came out that the book was finished. And this week I signed a book publishing contract for that book. And the book is about Israel's first queen that ever ruled legitimately. Because we know that obviously we had the evil queen Athaliah in the book of Kings, but she wasn't a legitimate ruler. She wasn't chosen by Yahweh to rule, so we rule her out. But I don't know if you do know this, but Israel had a queen that ruled. She came to the throne when she was 63. She had a golden age reign. It was right before Yeshua came, and she is amazing. And I spent years also just researching her work and studying her, and had wonderful professor actually share his work with me, because he had done archaeological finds about her. He had done written work about her. And yeah, it was kind of like being a beautiful treasure hunter. I really was a treasure hunter. So I went and I searched for her, Shelem Zion. I looked for her and found her. And she was a descendant of the Maccabees, and she goes to the throne, and she's the only female ruler that ever ruled legitimately over Israel, over a united kingdom of Israel. And her legacy is deep, it's rich, it's beautiful. I signed a book contract for it this week with another publishing house. I'm so excited. And they want to release the book in September this year. So it's 4 months from now. I'm really excited. It means a lot of work and a lot of prayer in the fact that I want this to reach people who need the story, Yosef. That's what it's about. And, you know, I've had a lot of people say to me that, we don't want women to lead in our congregations or wherever we are, because there's never been a female leader in Israel. The only female leader that was around was Jezebel, and we don't need another Jezebel. Well, this reality and this story turns that onto its head, and it's going to just be mind-blowing to bring her story to the front of people's consciousness. We need to be, you know, we need to find the female stories, and we need to tell them, and we need to celebrate them. And so I'm really excited. That's what really this is about. So really, really excited.
So you need to, guys, look out for that. And you know, this evening, the topic that the Father laid on my heart, I think tonight we, you know, because it's the coffee break, it gives us the freedom to be able to speak about a whole lot of different things. Mm-hmm. For example, we can speak for half an hour on one thing, and then we can speak another half an hour on something else. But, you know, Aaliyah, I'm so blessed because I'm listening, you know, I got to explain this. You know, we married, as you all know, and that sometimes you don't always understand. You know, people get to meet you maybe through the teachings, or they get to meet us maybe face to face, but they don't really know the struggles and the things that people go through as everyone does sometimes. And you know, sometimes what people see is the end product, but they don't actually see the process that a person has to go through in order for that end product to come out. And it's for me a real blessing, Aaliyah, to know that I've walked this road with you to see, you know, how you've gone through this. And you know, this evening, I'm going to speak about something that I really feel is important for the time that we're in. And I really feel that it lines up quite a bit with what Aaliyah has been just sharing about, you know, using what the Father has given her, and despite the opposition, despite what people have told her, despite how you know, even book publishers and even the book publisher that did her original book, how they turned around and were not 100% bowled over, if I do use that phrase, for this book, and they were not 100% convinced, because within this story, brothers and sisters, there is a prophetic message of the final remnant. If you understand the final remnant and you have a look at the life and the story that's going on in this book, you will see the prophetic connections and you will understand it. And if you are not a spiritually in tune person, then this story will just be, okay, it's just another, you know, just another warrior novel kind of vibe. And I feel that I just, you know, this evening, what we want to speak about is going to tie up in such an awesome way with what Aaliyah just shared, that we need to use our gifts, despite what people say, despite what people might even tell you, despite how the enemy will use people around you and say to you, hey, you know what, you don't have what it takes. It's not going to work. And if you even write this book, you might destroy your entire reputation. You know, things like that. And to continue to do what we need to do, knowing that the Father's given us a gift and that we just need to be faithful with those things that he gives us, despite what people say. And I feel that's, you know, that's so important, Aaliyah. And I commend you for sticking it out. I know that there's a lot of people, maybe even myself, that wouldn't have stuck it out and just been like, hey, you know what? Maybe these people are right. Maybe what they're saying is true. Mm. But, you know, I give praise to Yahweh, because it's not an easy task. And especially when you got to hand over your hard work to a publishing house, and then they might not carry the same vision or dream that you do, and then they want to change everything, they want to do this or that. So, you know, it's very important, brothers and sisters, that we do what the Father asks and be faithful with what he gives us. So without any further ado, Aaliyah, would you please pray for us?
Yeah, you're making me cry this evening. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your amazing grace to us, Father, for your relentless kindness and love, even when we go through what's really hard in our lives, Father, that you're working it all out for the good, even when we cannot see it. And I'm so grateful for that. And this evening, as we come together and we join our hearts to hear from your Spirit, we pray tonight that your Spirit would really rest upon us and among us and in between us and within us. And that, Father, you will share your word so powerfully with us, that when we walk away from tonight's broadcast, that we will be encouraged to do what it is that you have called us to do with power, with fervor, with passion, with zeal. Even though other people may not understand it, Father, we know that what matters is what we do with you, Father, by co-partnering with you in this life to just make this world a different place for your kingdom. I'm so grateful for that this evening. And Father, we just bless you and we just thank you, Yeshua. You are the awesome God and a mighty Savior. And we give you all the praise this evening. Yeshua, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, Aaliyah, I was sitting this week and I was praying and I was asking the Father, you know, what do we need to speak about on the coffee break? And you know, sometimes Yahweh can be really, really silent. sometimes you can sit and ask him over and over and get into a point where you sit and you say, I just don't know actually what we are supposed to be speaking about. But I can say now for certain that I am convinced that what he laid upon my heart has a real significance for the time that we're in. And you know, as you were talking about your book, and I was just thinking about what he laid upon my heart, and I want to share with each one of you what he has laid on my heart. And the thing that he said to me is the importance of spiritual gifts today. And you know, as we're heading towards Shavuot, which is coming up soon, you know, many people celebrate this day, and unfortunately it has taken on an incorrect understanding because of all the, you know, the how do I say, the add-ons and the traditions and all the things that people have done, you know, because people, I don't know what it is, but like we said before, people like to connect themselves to a religion instead of connecting themselves to just the plain truth. So we get to this day of Shavuot and everybody talks, oh, the giving of the Torah and this and that, but we need to go back and see what is actually going on. It's the giving of Yahweh's Spirit, and we need to have a look at what happened. Yahweh poured out His Spirit upon His disciples, those who were ready to receive it, so that the first harvest, they were the first fruits, so that then the harvest through their lives could be, how do I say, could come in. They went out and they started, and Peter goes out and he preaches the word, and 3,000 on that day get saved. And then people are starting to get filled with the Ruach, and people are beginning to have a change in the way that things have been done. And as I said in the previous teaching, we know that throughout the Old Testament that the Spirit was upon the prophets and the kings and the judges, but it wasn't within the life of believers in the way that it was when it was poured out on the day of Shavuot, on Pentecost, as some of you would know. But the purpose of the Ruach is not just so that we are filled with His Spirit so that we can, how do I say, so that we can understand or be guided into all truth. The Spirit is there to ignite the gift that God has given unto us, that actually Yeshua, through His death and resurrection, has been able to give to us. And you know, Leah, I've spoken many, many times about the bridal covenant, and I spoke about how the bridal covenant and becoming the bride and all the process of the ancient Hebrew wedding, how that relates so clearly to the words of Yeshua and to the life of a believer. And one of those things that we spoke about is the fact that he, the groom, goes away for 2 years, and he prepares a place for his bride. And during that time, he sends her gifts, all kinds of things. You know, I don't know what it could be, gold, pearls, whatever it might be. However he had the means to bless her, he would then give her a gift. And this speaks to us about the fact that Yeshua has gone and He's preparing a place for us on by His Father, as it says, and the Father will send Him back. But during that time, He said, I will not leave you orphans, I will not leave you alone, but I will give you the Spirit of truth that will guide you into all truth. But it also says that He who died and went into the grave ascended to the Father, and He gave gifts to all men. It doesn't say He gave gifts to some. It says that He gave offices to some, and He gave gifts to all men. And we need to understand that. There are offices, and we're going to speak about that, and there's offices that Yahweh has ordained for the edification of the body. And the Bible says that not everyone's going to have an office, and we need to be okay with that. But every single one of us as believers will receive a gift. So in other words, if you are saved, if you are seeking the infilling of the Ruach, and you are seeking to do the will of the Father in your life, He says that He will give you a gift. And that gift, it says the gift of the giver is irrevocable. It doesn't get removed, but you, through your life and through your disobedience or through the lifestyle that you live, can cause that gift to become dormant. In other words, it can become dormant, covered up, it can become dusty, it can become...
Well, some people use their gifts for evil.
Amen.
So like if you have the natural gift of singing, some people will use it for, you know, the enemy, or some people will use it for self-exaltation.
That's right.
Or some people, I mean, look at someone like Whitney Houston. We right. cannot deny that she had a gift.
That's right.
I mean, to reach the kind of ranges that she reached and to be so powerful in that way, but never using what Abba Father has given you for Him. Completely right. alone. I mean, yes, she sang some gospel music, but she wasn't saved.
No.
And to use, and there can be some gifts, because like you said, the gifts are irrevocable. There are some gifts that we're actually born with. Musical ability. Some people have a natural ability to write. Some people have a natural ability to sing, to create, to do amazing things. And it's never really removed from them, but they never use it for the good thing.
Amen.
They never use it for the kingdom.
That's right.
And our task as real Spirit-filled believers is to use everything that we have for the kingdom.
Amen.
And for the work of the kingdom.
Amen.
And not for self-exaltation, which is a whole nother different story altogether, to be bragging about things
and that happens. You know, that happens.
Does.
The bragging, and the Bible says, it says that I will not share my glory with another.
Mm.
And people think that they can, you know, use the gift that Yahweh has given them and then take the glory for themselves. And that's wrong. So this evening, you know, Leah, I was sitting and I was asking Yahweh, why do you want me to talk about this? I have done a teaching on, you know, you've done one on the gift of healing, and I've done one on the gift of speaking in tongues. But I felt this evening that the importance of spiritual gifts as we approach this time of Shavuot is very, very important in the life of every one of us. We should be desiring to have more than just one gift. We should be desiring to be able to have many and multiple gifts for the edification of the body. And whether we have one or whether we have five or whether we have 10 doesn't make any difference. The problem today I find in the body is that we are not understanding the purpose of these spiritual gifts. And because so many of us, Aliyah, are scattered all around the nations, we are scattered out of our groups, we are not in a community, we are sitting at home, we listen to teachings on the internet, we might go to a meeting if we are fortunate enough to be able to find one where we can connect. And the problem comes in now with this whole way that we are, or how do I say, fragmented around the world or fragmented apart from each other, is that the gifts of Yahweh are actually for the edification of the body. And they actually operate within the body structure. That's what he says. He says that we are a body. Each part of the body has a different function. One will be an eye, one will be a hand, one will be a foot. But we all need each other to function. So the problem comes in as well, Aliyah, that I've come to realize, is that we are to be co-laborers with Messiah Yeshua. He has given us these gifts so that we can be co-laborers with him. So that as we use our gifts, others will know the power and the manifest wisdom of God. And I feel that, you know, so many times we sit and people turn around and say, I don't know what my purpose is. I sit here at home, I read the Torah, I read the Bible, I pray, but I feel empty, like something is missing. And the fact of the matter is, maybe something actually is missing, because Yahweh has given you a gift. Maybe he has given you a gift of helps. Maybe he has given you a gift of discernment. Maybe he's given you a gift of knowledge, but you don't have any place to use that gift, because there's nowhere where you're able to exercise your gift, because you're actually alienated. You're an island. You're on your own. And I'm not now saying, okay, now go find a congregation and join. No. But we need to understand that the purpose of Yahweh's gifts is to build the body of Messiah Yeshua up first. It's not for the unsaved, it's for the saved. That's what he says. So we as believers, we find, oftentimes I found even in my own life, that if I'm sitting at home and I'm just teaching, and I'm doing teachings on the internet, I feel sometimes that I get a bit frustrated. I get a little bit kind of like down, because I'm only using one part of what Yahweh has given me. And the truth of the matter is, Aliyah, that like you said, you have this gift that the Father has given you. It's a natural ability to write, but Yahweh's Spirit upon you gives you the ability to do it in a spiritual way with depth and with truth. But if you're not doing that, be honest with me, if you're not using your gifting or you're not writing, it feels like, hey, you know what? I'm not fulfilling the purpose that I was created for.
I think that for me, when I feel very sad when I'm not writing. It almost feels like someone that's gone away on a long journey that you start to miss, you know? It's a very deep feeling, because I know that I mean, this is part of my testimony, and it's a long testimony which I'm not going to share, but you know, I didn't think that, I've always loved writing, but things happened in my life and I didn't think that there was Yahweh's will for me. And when he spoke to me in 2010 and said, this is cornerstone of your purpose, this is I'm going to use you here, Yahweh had to build me up to that point. And now, I mean, I would miss it. It's just the way. Also, what needs to be said, Yosef, about our spiritual gifts is that they're not just for the body, but firstly, what Yeshua has shown me is that my spiritual gifts are firstly for my relationship Amen. With him. So Amen. When I'm writing, he is speaking to me.
Right.
That is like I can be sitting writing for 5 hours, not a book or anything like that, just writing in my journal things that he's saying, or things I encounter in the word, or just these things that come. And there's like, it's like an umbilical cord. Amen. And it's a direct connection between you and Abba Father. And you know too, your primary gift that you love to use is praying for people and speaking into their lives what Father lays inside of you. And that's something that you are really love doing. And I believe it's your primary gift. You know, words of knowledge and words of wisdom. That is actually your primary gift. And when you use that gift, you feel the connection to Yeshua. Amen. The other person that you're praying for probably feels the love of Yeshua, but they may not be feeling exactly what you're feeling. You have the umbilical cord that's connected you now,
That's right.
spirit to spirit, with the Abba Father, and you are receiving. That's why some people come to you afterwards and be like, aren't you tired and stuff? Yeah, sure, you're tired, but your spirit is revived.
Amen.
Because, you know, you're connecting with him. And that's how I feel natural ability of writing, that he gave me that. But he first gave me that because there have been many times where months go by and he doesn't want me to write for other people. But that doesn't mean I'm not writing. It means that I've got, bookshelves full of books that I'm writing between me and him, and what he's sharing with me. And it's that, and that's something that's not taught about our spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts, our congregations just want to tell us what our spiritual gifts are,
yes,
so that they can use us in the congregation.
Try and harvest them. It's like they want to harvest it from you.
The first week I said it. The first week that my mom put up her hand and got saved in church not so long ago, the next week, she was already they were already getting her to do her spiritual giftings and said hospitality and this is, we can use you there. And I said, no ways, Ma. You need to be sitting, if Amen. You really want to know, you're sure, you need to be sitting in the meeting and you need to be getting spiritual food. Not saying that she's going to be getting spiritual food in this particular place where she is, but she needs, no, you don't just pluck someone that's newly in their walk with Yeshua from the congregation or from whatever and put them in a place and be like, you're just going to serve here now. You got to grow. Yes, that's the other part, Amen. Isn't it, Joseph?
That's right.
I mean, your testimony of how Abba Father had to show you certain things by facing a demon-possessed kid in a rehabilitation center for freaking months was like part of you having to learn. Through that, the Father was teaching you how to pray,
right,
was teaching you how to discern,
right,
was teaching you about speaking into situations, was teaching you all these things. And we've got to sometimes go through these things. We've got to learn. We've got to learn about our spiritual gifts. And they're not all going to be given to us at once. You know, I believe that a lot of us will have many of these gifts,
right,
but we won't all receive them all at one time.
You know, Leah, I agree with you that we won't necessarily receive them all at one time. But we also need to understand that the gifts of Yahweh are activated also by our faith. In other words, by the faith that he gives us. So for example, when you desire a spiritual gift and then it is up to you to exercise your faith in that area. For example, if I keep on receiving words in my heart and I feel like, hey, you know what, the Father's saying to me, I need to go and speak to that person and say something. If I don't act on that faith, then my gifting, it's always, it's always going to be this thing of being there. But the faith the faith that I have activates it, and then it begins to help you to grow. And the reason why we are speaking about this evening, brothers and sisters, is because I really do believe that we are entering into a time now of change, a time where the Father wants to use his faithful servants in the area, just like the disciples were after they were filled with the Ruach. So now Yahweh wants to do the same. So we cannot just come to Shavuot and say, okay, I'm seeking a touch or I'm seeking an infilling, if we don't actually understand that, hey, you know what? The infilling of the Ruach is so that you can go out there and be a witness. And in order to be a witness, you need to ask the Father, what is it, Yahweh, that you have given to me? What gifts have you placed in my life so that I can be a better witness for you, so that when I do these things, other people will know that you are Yahweh. And before we go to a song, Ali, I want to just share something that's also very important. It's important to know what Yahweh has called you specifically to do. For example, I cannot do what my father can do. I cannot do what you can do. For example, I write articles because it's important for me to write down everything before I teach it. But I'll be dead honest with you. My wife knows. I hate it. It's not my gift, or it's not my primary place. When I was in seminary, it was okay. I had to sit down. I had to write a 5 or 6, 7 page, paper for marks, and it had to be done a certain way. But now I've realized that it's not something that I really enjoy. I do it, but I don't really enjoy it. I enjoy the delivery of it. And whereas she enjoys writing it.
And it's horrible when you get those emails like, Joseph, where are those notes? Where are those notes? Joseph's like, oh my gosh, now I got to edit my notes.
Checks every single grammatical and spelling error.
Please, can you edit? Please, can you edit? And I'm so busy writing other stuff that I don't get time to edit anymore. Shame. But I know that there's just some things that you're just not
There's some things that we need to understand. Some things we might not be good at. Other things you might excel in. And that is why, brothers and sisters, the body of Messiah Yeshua is so important. I know that many of you, we scattered. You know, some of us are in the States, some of us in South Africa, some of you might be in Australia, you might be all over the globe. And this is a desire that I have. I'm praying and I'm asking the Father, how now that we are so scattered and the body is in such a mess, how does that remnant come together and be able to be united so that we can feed and bless one another? If you know what I mean by feed is feed into each other and feed from each other in a spiritual sense. We shouldn't be suckerfish on each other and suck each other dry, but we should be able to have the body that lifts each other up. How are we going to endure the last days if we are not a body building one another up? So if one has the gift of helps, then we need to help. If one has the gift of giving, then they need to give. If one has the gift of encouragement, then they need to be encouraging the other person.
We are the encouragers today.
Amen.
Yes, we are the encouragers. We are the people that I mean, I how many times do you just get a message where someone's just like, you were laid on my heart, brother or sister, whatever. I just want to tell you that I'm praying for you and I receive this from you, the Father. You know, I remember when I was first saved all those millions of years ago, I wish it was millions. I remember that was huge, that was big. 2002 was when I got saved. That was big. There was a lot of encouragement going on. And I love doing that for other people as well. And I love it that people would do it for me. And there was all these messages going on. We really used to encourage each other. But then it got to a point where, you know, when I got into the messianic sort of faith and movement or whatever you want to call it, that stopped. Mm-hmm. And that, we need the encouragers. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life stinks sometimes.
That's right.
And we need the ones who, that's a gift.
Amen.
Come on.
It's a gift.
Can I tell you something? If you can walk into a store and you see someone that's maybe serving you or ringing up your food or whatever, and you have something on your heart to say to that person, even if it's like, you look beautiful today or you're whatever, I want to tell you that you need to speak it. You need to tell somebody because you don't know. You may walk into a bathroom, I've thought about this often, at a mall, Yosef, and there's people that are cleaning those bathrooms. That's a stinky job, literally. It's a horrible job. I don't think anybody likes that job, but they do it because they must. And sometimes you'll walk into a bathroom and that bathroom will be really clean and it will really be shining because the person's doing a good job. Do we ever stop and go and say to that person, thank you. Thank you for what you did today. You know, if you want to be even more of a blessing, there was a time where I bought this box where it had 30 blessings in. And it was a blessing. It was in a Christian bookshop and it was based on scriptures. And it was something that the Father led me to do at some stage. And I put that in my handbag and I would go. Most of the time I took those blessings and gave it to, I'm not saying this because I think I'm cool. I'm just giving this as an example, giving those blessings to the people that clean the toilets for real. So the people that clean the toilets at the mall. I mean, it's not a nice job. That person's there because that's the only job that they can get. In South Africa, we have 40% illiteracy. We have 40% unemployment. Most of the people are doing a lot of jobs that they need to do because of the unemployment and everything that's going on. And some people do actually put effort in. A lot of people don't, Yosef. We have to say that.
That's
a lot of people don't even greet you at the cashiers and you really don't want to be there. But then there are some people that excel and there are some people that make an effort. And what if the Father has given us a gift of encouragement? We don't know what that person is going through in their life. You don't even know sometimes what I'm going through in my life. Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
It doesn't mean it's just that guy or your leaders don't need encouragement or the people, you know, preaching the word don't need encouragement or your boss or because they seemingly have it all together. We need the gift of encouragement really to be active in the body. I think it's one of the most important gifts right now that we need because the world is just such a dark place.
You know, Leah, we were talking and we were saying it's important to know what Yahweh has called you to do. And and I really want to state this, that it's important to know what he has given you. And and it's not a thing of, okay, so how do I do this? It's simple. And we're going to look at that as we come back. But we need to know what we are not to do just as much as we are to know what we are meant to do. In other words, this leads to us, you know, so many people are doing what they think they should be doing and not what they were actually created for. So they think that, hey, you know what, maybe I am a writer. But in actual fact, maybe they're not a writer. Maybe they're actually a teacher. Or maybe somebody thinks, oh, well, you know what, I am an encourager. But in actual fact, maybe you're not. Maybe you actually have a word of knowledge. Or somebody will say, oh, brother, you have a gift of prophecy. No, maybe they actually have a word of wisdom. We need to understand how these things work in the body. And you know, Leah, before we go to this break, this is the last thing I want to say is this. So many people today are spiritually illiterate. And what do I mean by that? I've noticed that it's like we go places and we pray for people, or even on a coffee break maybe. You know, we'll pray for somebody and Yahweh will give that person a word. And I've noticed that people are very unsure of things, in the sense of they kind of not so sure, you know, how do I take it or not. And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just that I've come to realize that people are not exposed that much anymore to the spiritual side of things. In other words, to words of knowledge, words of prophecy, words of encouragement, or you know, the spiritual things where somebody, maybe they're oppressed or they're demon possessed, and they actually see that person being delivered. And I'm not talking, brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about, you know, these people that always say, oh, screaming shout. No. I have never, ever prayed for any person in my entire time that I've been saved that has been oppressed or possessed by a demon and had a demon jump and scream or levitate or scream or run around the place and try bash things over. No, it's just been a matter of out in the name of Yeshua and it's happened.
And I must just say, sorry, Joseph, you know, a couple of years ago when a lot of friends that we knew that were in ministry, anytime they had some person oppressed by some demon, it was like, Joseph, can you come and pray for this person? He was like the Ghostbusters, I promise you. It was really like, at one stage I was like, Joseph, seriously, like, I really don't want you to be doing this anymore. Like, you can't be praying for all these people that are like possessed and crazy and whatever, but he does enjoy it.
But I think, Elia, it's important, because I've realized, because you know what it is, because we have come out of church or we've got into the Messianic faith, and for some of us we're trying to find the place that we belong, and in that trying to find the place where we belong, we've got so sucked into just teachers. And we've said it so many times in the teachings, the Messianic faith is all about teaching. Whereas the church, we might still find, you know, pastors and shepherds and a few evangelists here and there, and then these self-proclaimed, you know, prophets, evangelists that aren't actually like that. But the problem that we're facing is people are either so scared of this, or others are so unexposed to it, or others are kind of saying, well, you know what, I don't have anywhere to go where I can be prayed for. I don't have anywhere to go where somebody can actually lay their hands on me and pray for healing for my back or for my arm or whatever. So I'm stuck just listening to teaching after teaching after teaching. So when somebody actually does pray for them, and they pray for them to be healed, or they pray for them and they give them a word, they get so freaked out, because it's kind of foreign to them. And this is what I'm trying to say, brethren. Yahweh wants us to know these things, because if we are going to be his army, brothers and sisters, the army has generals, the army has soldiers, the army has a guy running there with the water, giving the water to the soldiers. And you know what? That guy running, giving the water, he might be the guy that has the gift of helps. He might be the guy that has the gift of encouragement. And all he's doing is running back and forward, up and down the ranks, saying, hey, you know what? Here's some water. Here's some water.
I love the people that have the gift of hospitality. Hey, those are my favorite peeps, because I go somewhere and the people ask me to lay the knives and forks. I eat left-handed. I mean, seriously.
Everything's back to front.
Everything is back to front. I don't have that. That's not me. That's not my vibe, you know. So the ladies that have that, I mean, I love them, because the table always looks so good. And it's, oh, man, the bread is home-baked. It's not bought from the store like I would. And then sometimes people get me over by their house and expect me to do it. And I'm like, sister, I'm just going to buy everything from the store. Like, I don't have time to do this. I really don't. You know, I really don't. And I'm like, send me those ladies. How many times have you been like, oh, yeah, we send me those ladies with the hospitality gifts, because they make my world go round. Seriously, that's why we need that.
Amen.
We need that, Amen. Right? I'm there. I'm not there to lay the table. I'm actually there to lead the service right. and to preach and to share the word of Yahweh. And then you still expect me to lay the table. I can't do all those things.
Amen.
So if I'm there to preach and teach and
that's all, why we need each other.
Exactly. And an older lady once came to this meeting I was, and she went and sat down in the corner. She was sitting. Everyone else was running around setting tables, and I end up sitting next to her. And she said, "You know what?" She said, some people will think that it's arrogant, but it's not. I know what I'm here for. She was there to actually give a talk about human trafficking. She said, I'm not here to lay the table because I'm not good at it. And yes, we must help where we can. But there were loads of women and lots of people that could set tables. And she said that we've got to know what we're here for. If you're a preacher, teacher, and you're here to share the word of God, and you're gonna minister to people's spirit, you don't go and empty yourself out before you even get to that stage on setting Amen. Tables.
That's right.
And then you get to the stage and you can't even pray for anybody because you've emptied yourself out. You've got to know where you are. So that's why hospitality gifted people, that's we always need them.
You know, Leah, I'm reminded of a lady that we both know very well. She might even be listening to the Coffee Break. But you know, this lady, I got to commend her because she has the gift of administration. She has the gift of hospitality and she has the gift of administration. And whenever we have a function like this Shavuot that we're going to have now, this lady just pulls it together. She just really pulls it all together. And we need people like that because not one person in the body can say, hey, you know what? I have everything that I need. We need one another. And as Aaliyah said, too many of us are doing what we think we should and not what we were created for. And if you're going to do everything that you weren't created for, you're going to be burnt out. Mm. You're always going to feel like, what is my purpose? What is it that I should be doing? Because you're actually not doing it. You're doing what you think you should. And this can lead to serious issues and, like I said, burnout. But you know, Leah, let's play a song and then let's come back and chat some more.
What, you know, Yosef, wow, we've been chatting it up. We're on fire. What are you going to play? I know that we're going to play Paul Wilbur this
That's
evening
right.
because I like Paul Wilbur. Do you like Paul Wilbur?
I like Paul Wilbur.
Paul Wilbur. We're going to play some Paul Wilbur for you. Who can compare to your Yahweh? And enjoy the song, and we'll see you on the other side.
Oceans and the seas, subdue the storm-tossed waves for me. God, you are awesome. All of heaven declares your name, wondrous beauty, your majesty. God, you are awesome. Who can compare to your great love? None can compare to all you've done.
Welcome back to the Coffee Break Live with me, Alia, and with Yusuf. And you know what? I am laughing, smiling, happy, jumping, joyful because my father-in-law just sent us a really cool message and said that 9 years ago on this very day, Yusuf,
that's right.
Do you know what happened?
I got engaged to you.
We got engaged 9 years ago on this very, very day. How very special. And now here we're sitting out doing the coffee break together and we're doing so many things together, hey?
That's right.
That's amazing. Praise Yahweh that he brought two very different people with two very different backgrounds, with two very different lives, with two very different personalities together and made us a big blossomy bush full of good things.
Amen.
Hey?
Amen.
Thank you for you, Yusuf.
Thank you, Leah.
Feeling the love. So, Yusuf, share with us. You know what? We've been talking a lot about the gifts. 40 minutes of
interacting. That's right. And we haven't even really interacted.
You know, this is just like what we did a coffee break on friendship the one time. That we got to do a friendship conference. We got to now do a spiritual gifts conference. Amen. Because obviously, that's maybe what Shavuot's going to all be about. Amen. You finding your gifts.
That's right. That's
so if you want to find your gift,
come to Shavuot.
Get down to Tabalingwe and we'll work it out there. And if you're going to be stubborn and stiff-necked, we'll just throw you to one of the lions. They'll sort you out. You'll find your gift very quickly. It'll probably be a gift of intercession at that stage. But the lion's going to give you the gift of hospitality. Because you're going to set the table with you. But, Yusuf, what is the... I want to know about the gifts.
Yes.
Because I want to know... A lot of people could be sitting going, wow, okay, cool. Like, I must find my gift. Can use my gift. Oh, I'm so excited about my gift. But what are the gifts? And share with us a bit about that.
You know, I started and I said that the word of Yahweh in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it tells us that, for we are laborers together with Yahweh. So we need to understand that Yahweh works through his children to accomplish his work here on earth. And as such, like I said, he's given us various gifts and he's given us the fivefold ministry. Now, this is a subject of contention. Many people say the fivefold ministry is a fourfold ministry. I'm not so sure I fully agree with that. Mm-hmm. They say that just because they say that pastors teach and that teachers and pastors is one and the same. I disagree with that. Pastors are pastors with a teaching gift, but some pastors might be have a different kind of gift. They might have the gift of helps. They might have the gift of knowledge. They might have various kinds of gifts, and we need to understand it. Whereas a teacher might be, for example, some of you listening to this broadcast, you have a gift of teaching, and you use that gift of teaching maybe in a secular setting, or you use it in a small group setting, or you use it kind of in your Torah study group or wherever, but Yahweh has given you a gift of teaching. And I know for many of you, you only feel happy or you only feel, like we said, fulfilled when you're using that gift. Mm. But maybe Yahweh has some other gifts for you that he wants you to understand. So we need to understand that. So one of the things I've spoken about extensively on the channel and on our website is the fivefold ministry. So I'm not even going to really get into that. I think that in Ephesians, he tells us very clearly, and I'm going to read the scripture. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 onwards, it says, he himself, talking about Yeshua, gave some as missionaries, in other words, apostles, some as prophets. It doesn't say he gave all, it says some. He says some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, right? For the perfecting, and we've spoken about this passage of scripture so many times, right? So he's given us the fivefold ministry for the perfecting, for the spiritual maturing of the body of Messiah Yeshua. And he has done this until Messiah Yeshua returns. And so that each one of us, and there he says it, he says it in verse 13, until we all come to the unity of the belief and the knowledge of the Son of Elohim to a perfect man. In other words, to a mature person in him. And Aaliyah, we got to be honest. Some of us listening to this broadcast, some of us that will listen to it later, we are all at different levels. Therefore, this fivefold ministry is still in effect, and we need to understand that. The problem today with the Messianic movement and with the church is that the church has taken the fivefold ministry and abused it and said, hey, you know what, I'm a bishop, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. And we have given ourselves titles that are not given by Yahweh. We cannot self-appoint ourselves just because someone else says, hey, you know what, brother, you have a gift of knowledge, come, I'm going to call you a prophet. No, the high priest, who is Yeshua himself, the high priest is the one who gives the gifts. It's not anybody else. Yeshua gives the gifts, and you as a follower of Messiah Yeshua will know what he has given you. And many apostles, many prophets, brothers and sisters, a true apostle or a true prophet is never with the crowd. They are always away. For example, look at Elisha's life. Look at Elijah's life. Look at Samuel's life. They were always away from the people. Why? Because the people were so defiled that they couldn't actually be around them. They were not looking for glory. They were looking for what? For restitution. They were looking for the people to repent. They were looking for the people to change their ways. And they were always in opposition to what the common thing was that was going on in the lives of the people, right? So we need to understand that. So these giftings, in other words, these offices have been given to the body to edify the body and bring the entire body to a place of maturity. But now he goes on and he says, hey, you know what? There are different gifts given to different people. And I want to read you some of those, and you find them in different places in the scripture. So in Romans chapter 12, 1 to 8, it gives us some of the main giftings. For example, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it talks about the gift of prophecy, right? And then it goes on in verse 7 and it talks about the gift of ministry. In other words, ministering to other people. It's kind of like ministry would also be, you could take ministry and evangelism and put them together and you would get missions, right? So it's the kind of missions. You have to be kind of a shepherd, or you have to have a ministry heart and a missions heart in order to do missions. You can't just go on a missions trip and not expect that you're going to have to share your testimony or pray for somebody or be a little bit out there and bold. Right. Exactly. Also in Romans 12 and verse 7, he talks about the gift of teaching, that is a gift, right? So like I said, these are not the fivefold ministries. We have teachers which teach, but we have the gift of teaching that is given to individuals that seek that gift, or that the Father has blessed with that gift. And you know, James says, you don't have because you don't ask. We don't have, many of us don't have the gifts that we desire because we are not asking. And it's very, very important. Also, the gifts of Yahweh go hand in hand with how you walk with Him. Don't expect a father just to give you something. He's not going to give you a pearl if you still can't handle, if you still can't handle the mustard seed type thing. We need to understand that. And then he goes on in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, and he talks about exhortation. Now, exhortation is what Elias said. It's exhorting someone, encouraging someone, telling someone that, hey, you know what? Yahweh is on your side. You're giving them a word of exhortation.
And you know what, Yosef, we have a problem, because a lot of times, you know, there are people with a gift of exhortation. And the exhortation happens where someone will come up to you sometimes and minister to you in a way where they are honoring you and where they are sharing and saying, for example, they're saying, I loved the way you ministered that word. This is what it did for me. This is what I felt. And I can see Abba Father has given you this. And it's just this, you know, I don't think I have the gift of exhortation. I can't really give you a good example. But what we do in the body, this is a major problem, is that we go, oh no. Whenever anybody says anything good about us, we're like, no, that's not me. All glory to the Father. No, that's not me. No. And we just like reject anything that's good, right, that is spoken about us. And you know what? In the Bible, in the scriptures, the holy scriptures of Yahweh, he says that we must honor one another. One of the ways that we honor one another is to speak life-giving words. Yeshua speaks about this. The Psalms speak about it. He says that the honor of Yahweh is a shield around us, so we can build. I've had this happen to me where I've been dishonored. People break you down, sure, by the things that they say. That removes life from you, and you start to feel, and people come and they honor you and they speak the life-giving words of Yahweh over your life. Not scripture. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they call you out as Yeshua sees you. It's deep. This is deep. And they start to build a shield around you, and you start to feel your spirit, amen, revives. It's almost as though blessings are being poured out over to you, and they're calling you out, your identity, who you are, what's going to happen, how Father sees you. It is like, it is the oil that the Father throws over you. And this is a gift, because exhortation is not just like, oh, Yosef, you're so great and wonderful. No, it is deep. And it is someone coming and speaking deep to your identity, deep to your spirit, deep to everything. And as they speak, it is as though the words of dishonor and the actions of others that have hurt you start to be broken off of you like a chain. And the gift of exhortation, I know there's a lot of people that have this gift.
Yes.
But what we need to do as a body is stop thinking that false humility equals true humility. False humility and fear enable us to go, oh no, oh no, oh no. It frustrates the life out of me when you're saying to someone, thank you. We need to say thank you for some things, and people go, oh no, oh no, oh no. If you cannot handle the honor of Yahweh, then you can't even handle the fact that the greatest honor that we received is Yeshua dying in your place. That is honor. Mm-hmm. Yeshua honored you by doing that. So now he wants to honor you by blessing you. And you go, Anna, Anna, you're actually putting yourself in the place of God and deciding what you need.
That's right.
If you have that problem, then you need to stop and pray and ask God, why do I do that? Am I fearful that I'm going to get pride? Am I holding on to false humility? We're stopping the gift of exhortation from being exercised in the body because we have a fear of pride and we don't want people saying anything good about us. Yahweh wants to give us all the good that we can receive, even more than what we want.
Amen. You know, Leah, I think that maybe it would be good if we give a little bit of a definition of these things and we just kind of break them open just shortly about what they are. Like you said, the gift of exhortation can also go hand in hand with the gift of encouragement because that's actually what it is. It's encouraging. So it's a Yahweh given ability to present to a person words of encouragement, words, like you said, that build them up. And it, like you said, it builds that person up. It encourages them. It kind of allows them to see themselves as Yahweh would see them. And it's found, like I said, in Romans 12:8. If you've got a piece of paper, write these things down. Acts 11:22-24 and Acts 15:30-32. And the characteristics of people with encouragement is that they are positive people. They are motivating people. They motivate others. They are affirming people. They like to, it's words of affirmation. That's what I would say. It's reassuring. It's also supportive. And they are people who are trustworthy, people that you can rely on. You can trust these people with what they're saying. And I believe that when somebody gives you a real word of encouragement or exhortation, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is Yahweh speaking. Because a lot of these times, these people with this gift, they look you straight in the eyes and they say, look at me. I want to tell you. They look at you with so much love and so much encouragement, and you're kind of like, okay. And you realize that, hey, you know what? It's not actually this person speaking to me. It's the Father through them that's speaking to me.
But Yosef, isn't that also, I know the people with this gift of encouragement often look you in the eye. And you know, our first impression sometimes to that is to drop our eyes as well as to drop our head. Now think about what we do when we drop our eyes and we drop our head. It's almost a posture of shame or dishonor. Right. So to lift your head high and to look at someone in the eyes is that you're acknowledging and you're actually lifting yourself up and you're acknowledging an honor and you're acknowledging that this is truth and you feel shy and you feel scared and sometimes you feel weird. But I remember actually while I'm talking that we did this at Sukkot last year where when we had the ladies ministry. I know that you weren't there, and the Father just laid on our hearts just that we would get into little groups and pour honor over one another, and things happened in that room, and I just wish we could do that more. That's encouragement and it's exhortation, and you know, it makes your head lift up. It makes your heart lift up. It makes your spirit stand up.
Right.
We need this gift.
So here's some practical ways of, you know, maybe you're saying, okay, well, I'm not in a body. You know, I'm not in a group of believers. I don't know where to actually use this gift. I know that I have this. I love to do it. So like Aaliyah said, you could use this in counseling somebody. You can use it in helping others making decisions. You can, I got the wrong one. encouragement. Basically, you can use it like Leah said. I, you know what, hey, I think sometimes, Leah, that we always think that we have to find a place to use these gifts, but we don't have to find a place. Every single day that we are walking around, there's opportunity, especially for encouragement.
That's right. The world is the harvest field. And Amen. We can use encouragement anywhere, like I said.
Yeah.
We can use it over email, over our cell phones.
Yes.
We can use it in counseling, like you said. You can use it in a prayer ministry.
That's
you
right.
could use it in wherever. You could, someone's laying on your heart, send pop them an email, encourage Amen. Them, make their day.
Go and visit someone that's sick. Go and pray for somebody that needs a word of encouragement. Go and pray for somebody that you work with who maybe lost a loved one. These are the things that this kind of person would be very, very, very comfortable in doing because they want to help, they want to encourage, and they want to lift up.
So the other gift that you spoke about was obviously a gift of prophecy. I think that one needs to be, you know, kind of spoken about because people think that now when you give them maybe, I don't know, like a word, you know, you pray for them, you give them a word, that you're actually prophesying into their lives.
Yeah.
But it's actually not. That's right. Not actually the gift of prophecy.
Yep.
That is something else. So maybe we need to, I would like you just to touch on prophecy. What is prophecy? And tell the people about that because it's important that we know.
You know, many times, Leah, we've traveled places and people say, oh, but you know what, brother, you have a strong gift of prophecy. And I always turn around and I say, I don't actually have a gift of prophecy. I have a gift of discernment and a gift of knowledge and wisdom. It's not so much prophecy in the sense of foretelling. It's not a thing of I'm not going to tell you something that's about to happen in your life. Prophecy is more, it's kind of like a Yahweh-given ability. It's Yahweh's truth to proclaim in a timely and a relevant way things that are still to take place. It's kind of like a you telling events maybe or things that will happen, whereas a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge is more in line with, how do I say, you're praying for somebody and you're actually being able to see the heart of the person and who they are to become. So you're giving them a word of knowledge. In other words, a word of discernment saying this is the path that you need to take. But it's not a forth-telling word. It's not a word of prophecy that goes into the future. Most of the time, when Yahweh gives a word to somebody, it's not actually a word of prophecy. Mm-hmm. It's a word of knowledge. It's a word of wisdom. Yahweh, through his wisdom, is revealing who that person can become
or
in
something
him.
About the person. May
that's
not
right.
Be exactly
yes.
who the person is to become.
It's normally a built up word, a word that will build them up, a word that will encourage them, a word that will give them direction. So yeah, let's do this quickly. So the gift of knowledge is the God-given ability to learn, to analyze, to uncover insights from the Bible that are pertinent to the growth and well-being of the body. In other words, it builds the body up, but it also builds the believer up. And one of these things, the characteristics of a person with knowledge is that they are observant, insightful, they are reflective, they are very truthful people, they are inquisitive people because they are always busy looking at everything around them too. It's the way that these things work. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're obsessed with everything around them. But we need to understand that this is good for counseling. Word of knowledge is good for counseling. It's good for basically helping people to make decisions. And within a community of believers, you need somebody with the gift of knowledge because sometimes you need to make good decisions. You need to make the right decisions. So let's get back to a few other things. I know now in Romans, he goes on and he says giving. Now, I want to touch on this one.
Mm.
Giving is a gift that Paul speaks about in Romans. And without the gift of giving, if we do not have people who have this gift of giving, it's not a matter of saying, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to give my tenth or I'm going to give my tithe. You know, people hate listening to anything that anybody ever has to say from the pulpit with regards to giving or with finances or with money. And Paul speaks about the gift of giving and he says that this is a gift. It's not a matter of every single believer has to give their tenth. He's talking about somebody who has a gift of giving and they give not only of their finances, but they give of themselves towards missions. They give of themselves towards building up the body. They give of themselves to doing things. So they're actually giving of their time, their resources, and their efforts. Everything that they do is this thing of, I want to give. And normally a person that has the gift of giving also has the gift of hospitality and helps. It's so important to actually understand this. And then he goes on and he says the other gift is showing mercy. Helps and mercy also go hand in hand. And I know that there's a lot of you that actually have this gift too. Then he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. And I'm going to read these to you quickly because we've pretty much covered these. He talks about in verse 8, words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And words of wisdom and words of knowledge, Aaliyah, they go together, right? He groups them actually together in this passage. And then he talks about faith and gifts of healing. We have to have faith in order for the gift of healing to be active. We have to believe that Yahweh can heal someone. So faith is a gift. And many times Yahweh gives us the gift of faith, and it's not a gift. It's one of those gifts that get activated in the moment a lot of times too. Extra faith for the things that we are doing. Then the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, which is necessary for things like counseling and people that are demon possessed. Tongues. Now, I'm not going to do this evening, but I encourage you to go and listen to the teaching on tongues and understand biblical understanding of tongues. Because he says here, and many people say, Aaliyah, that tongues and interpretation is given to one person. I disagree. He says that the gift of tongues is a gift to one and the gift of interpretation to another. And the reason why this is so important is because if somebody speaks in a tongue and they also interpret it, how then will the body really know that that is actually the truth of what that tongue means? Mm. I can suck up anything out of my thumb and say that this is what I feel it means. But whereas somebody else that has the interpretation that's sitting on the other side of the meeting and Yahweh gives that person the interpretation, it makes much more sense. That's why he says to one the gift of tongues and to the other the interpretation of tongues. And then in Ephesians 4 in verse 11 he talks about the fivefold ministry. Now I want to say this evening something on my heart that has been on my heart since we started. I truly, truly believe, brothers and sisters, that we are going into the time of the latter rain. And so many people and the church and so many theologians have misunderstood, Aaliyah, what that latter rain is all about. The latter rain, brothers and sisters, has got to do with those who are willing to prepare a place for Yahweh's Spirit. Just as the disciples went to wait for the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit, they received it. And you know, that's why when we go to Shavuot this year, I'm not expecting thousands of people. I'm not expecting 10,000 of people. I'm expecting the ones that Yahweh has handpicked that are coming there with a heart to receive. Because you see, just as the disciples were not a great multitude that was in that house, there was a few. And those few received the outpouring of the Spirit, which activated their lives and their ministry. Mm. And they went out and they did the work, so that the harvest of that rain, that rain that fell upon them, the spiritual rain that fell upon them, produced a harvest during their lifetime. Amen. There was a harvest that came in. And brothers and sisters, if the Bible says that the latter rain will be greater than the former, then we need to understand that right now we are moving into that latter rain time. And those remnant believers that have really prepared their hearts, that have walked in every single one of the covenants and are now standing in the inheritance covenant, he will pour out his Spirit upon you and he will activate the gifts so that the latter rain and the latter harvest can be greater than the first. Therefore, we, as Yahweh's children, need to be seeking the gifts of Yahweh. You need to be praying and asking the Father, what gift has He given you? How can I use my gift? How can I do more for Yahweh in His kingdom? And how can I stay in step with Him? You know, there's a last thing, Aaliyah, that I want to say. And this is one thing I feel that many people struggle with, is that we must not break rank. In Yahweh's army, there is rank, and we mustn't break rank. And what I mean by this, meaning don't desire to be someone that you are not. Don't desire to be somebody that you are not. In other words, don't desire someone else's spiritual gift just because you think that, hey, you know what, Yusuf and Aaliyah's ministry is blossoming. Don't try and be like somebody else just because you think that they got it all together. They don't have it all together. Mm. And Yahweh has given to us what we need to do the work, but I am not you and you are not me. So don't break rank. Don't step out of the plan that Yahweh has given given you. Because if we do that, brothers and sisters, if you desire someone else's gift, you will change your entire way of doing things, the way you pray, the way you speak, the way you do things, and you'll instead of, how do I say, conforming yourself to the image of Yeshua, you'll conform yourself to the image of people. Mm-hmm. Because you'll think that if I pray like this, if I do this like that, then I will be a success. No, you are success because you are doing what Yahweh created you to do. Harmony and the body is meant to be the representation of Yeshua on the earth. And what I mean by that, when we are in harmony with Him and we acknowledge that He is in us and we are in Him and we accept what He has given us, then we will be in harmony with one another. Mm-hmm. Then I will be able to flow with my brother. Why? Because the hand is not trying to hit the face. The leg is not trying to kick the head. And that's what we need to understand. When we are working together, we move forward. Mm-hmm. And as we move forward, the body grows and people get to know Yeshua. You know, brothers and sisters, there is a lot that we could speak on this subject, but we don't have time this evening. So, Leah, I think that we need to pray for finances, get on a plane, go to the States, get all these brothers and sisters together, sit them down, pray over you guys, and speak the word of Yahweh over you, and have a conference and speak about these things and see what Yahweh does. Man, I wish for that day. I wish that we could all be together. But, you know, until that time, we will continue to do what Yahweh has called us to do. And we pray that you guys will be blessed.
Yes, I know. But you know what? I also know that Yahweh can do this wherever we are, that Amen. We don't always need to be together, because it just is. You know, when we have a gift, the Father will really ignite it. Doesn't matter when. He will use it for the body, for the kingdom, wherever we are. We don't have to all, you know, be in a congregation, because, you know, my writing gift would never have actually been formed in a congregation, because sometimes when you're in a congregation, people want you to be something that you're not. Right. My writing gift, my speaking gift, most of the gifts that I have would never ever be as relevant as they are today, because people didn't want me to be the bold speaker, the leader, the anything that I knew that Yahweh was calling me. And even with the vision that I had of telling women's stories and whatever, people like, whatever. Kind of vibe. Sometimes I can speak from personal experience. Sometimes being on your own is the best place to be, to receive the gifts that Yahweh has for you to receive. And He will teach you discernment. You can learn discernment by going to the mall. You can learn discernment by working with people. You want to learn encouragement, you can learn it by visiting the toilet in the mall. If you want to learn to write, you can learn how to write all on your own.
My wife's obsessed with the toilet this year.
I just feel, you know. Anyway, you want to learn prophecy, you only learn prophecy by praying. Amen. You want to learn gifts of wisdom and knowledge, you only learn that by praying. So these gifts actually is first going to be cultivated between you and Yahweh. So we know that you don't need anything else but that. And that when the time is right, you're going to really be able to use it everywhere, anywhere, and in any context. That is awesome. So right now we want to go to our final song for the evening. And we've really enjoyed tonight's broadcast. And we really pray that if you have some prayer requests or things that you want to share with us, that you're so welcome to put it down there while we listen to the song by 363. It's an oldie but a goodie, and it's called Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be.
blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name.
Don't you love that song? If you've never heard that song before, I really pray that you enjoyed it. And I love that song because many times I've actually listened to that song. And if you really listen to the words, it's all about Yosef. It's all about, you know, even when there's pain in the offering, and blessed is Yeshua. Blessed is Yahweh in every season of our lives. And this evening, we are blessed just knowing that there have been so many of you that have been touched by the coffee break this evening. I think we've been touched. I think that the expectancy is growing in our hearts for us all to be together and knowing that Abba Father wants to do so much and so much more in our lives. And I'm so excited about that and blessed to be part of a body of believers who love Yeshua. So, Yosef, there are no prayer requests this evening, which is a good thing because that means that everyone is good. So I would like to ask you if you would like to close in prayer for us.
Let's do that. Before we do that, I just want to say, like Elias said, you know, I've always been a person, I love every single festival, but I know that I'm allowed to have a favorite, like Sudi says, a favorite. And my favorite festival is always been, or has always been, Shavuot. And the reason for that is because I just see how it's so prophetic and how it's a time where people, you know, really get to know who they are in Messiah Yeshua and also leave the place changed and renewed. We should be like that in every festival. But I have such an expectancy always when it comes to Shavuot because I have a real heart. My heart is to see people becoming the people that Yahweh wants them to be, walking in their giftings, walking in who they are and who they're being called to be. And I feel that, you know, this Shavuot, I'm excited. And if you guys listening are able to join, then please come. And we are excited to see a lot of you there. I also know that what we've been speaking about this evening is going to be part of what will be happening there. And, you know, it's a time where Yahweh's Spirit takes over. So why I'm saying this is because it's getting close. And I encourage you to prepare your heart, prepare your life. Ask the Father to really minister to you and come with an open heart and come with a true expectancy to be filled with his Ruach and to leave that place changed, ready for what he wants for you to do. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua. Father, that you love and that you care for every single one of us. Father, I am so blessed this evening, Father, to be able to sit here with Aaliyah, Father, to be able to be part of this great community, Father, and we do not take it lightly. Father, we are blessed by every single person that joins us every single week. Father, that comes to the website, that fellowships with other people, and we pray, Yahweh, that you will bless them greatly. Father, I thank you that you who started the good work in them is faithful and just to bring it to completion. And Father, I know that you are working in the lives of many, Father, and that you will bring it to completion until the day that Yeshua returns. I pray, Father, that as they prepare, Father, for more of you, as they ask you, Father, to look into their hearts, to search their hearts, Father, I pray that you will strengthen them, that you will bless them. And Father, I pray that as your word says, that we will all be in one accord again, Father, and that we will all be of one mind and one spirit, Father, and that when Yeshua returns, Father, that we will all rejoice in the fact that we are one big family. Mm-hmm. We thank you for this time, Father, and I pray a special blessing on every single person. May this week ahead, Father, be fruitful. May the scripture readings for every single person, Father, bring forth a harvest in their lives. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so, so much for joining us this evening. It's been so awesome to share this time with you. And we just pray that you'll have a Shavua Tov. And we will see those of you who are doing the scripture readings together. We will see you in the community chatting it up and sharing about what we've been reading. What a blessing to all of us. So have a fantastic week. We're going to play out with a nice jamming up vibe. What is it? A nice instrumentally
instrumental
jam.
Song.
And we really pray that you'll just have a good week. Thank you all for being such a blessing to us. Shavua Tov and Shalom Shalom.
Shalom everyone.